For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Cindy Burgess Gerson. What an amazing person. You can't have a burger without Berg. Megan Berg.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
And our super-duper premium sponsor, Kelly Grant, the most gorgeous girl in Texas. We love you. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on ye old brows. I'm Ronnie Caron from the Rose Pricks podcast, which comes back this Monday, so tune in. And here I am with the gorgeous, talented, newly minted, 26 bar mitzvah old Ben Mantelclear of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hello. Unlike you, I have no idea when the Banter Blender is coming back because I just don't have energy to book guests for it. So I promote it every single episode, and yet I don't have any new content. I've not had new content in 9 months. But thank you, everyone.
Well, who cares? I still watch The Golden Girls.
There you go. There you go.
The internet is forever, Ben.
Yeah, well, we think. Net neutrality.
Yeah, Verizon's gone. Like, I hate the Banter Blender.
They might. I took a very strong anti-Verizon stance recently. No,
we did. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? We called that guy a traitor, so we actually kind of did.
So, gosh, we have a lot to discuss. Ronnie, do you care to do the concert promotion of the day?
Sure, guys. We started doing this touring thing last year. We were shocked at how amazing it was and how amazing you guys are. So now we've just got dates every month. We're going to be going around the country all year long. We're booked up till summer. So up till then.
Through May.
That's close enough, right? Yeah. I don't know. Year-round school has changed everything.
I'm just like a calendar purist. Like, summer doesn't start till June 21st or 22nd. So let's not go there, Ronnie, okay?
Yeah. I didn't even know that Aries was the god of war until I watched Wonder Woman, okay? That's how little I know about, you know, the calendar.
I am quitting this podcast. How are you not up on your Greek mythology?
Zeus was hot. That's all I know.
Yeah, he was.
So we have tons of shows. We're doing, New York, sold out, sorry. New York, Boston, D.C. We're coming back to Chicago because you guys are a moss. We're going to Houston, where my mother and a brand new Tonta doll will be appearing. Detroit, yeah.
Yeah.
And what I miss?
Well, one of the Boston shows is sold out, but the other one, tickets are on sale. So Boston people. You know, that's like less than a month away. No, it's a little bit over a month away. So Boston people, just sell that out. Sell that shit out. DC is totally sold out. DC is like superstars. And we just announced yesterday that we are going to be doing the Golden Crappies live in January here in LA. And that has already sold out. So thank you to everyone who bought tickets for that. That's going to be super fun. We are actually going to plan things for that show, which is a little different than most of our live shows. We are going to try to have some fun surprises for that. So it is going to be...
Et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. So it's going to be a really fun 2018. And we have another... There's a potential other thing that might happen in April. We'll just stay tuned.
There's so much fun, secretive stuff happening over here. And thankfully, my brain doesn't work right, so I don't even remember what it is, so I can't even spoil it.
We're playing Lincoln Center.
We're winning a Kennedy Center honor.
Oh, we will be featured on the Oscars in February.
We will be singing Lionel Richie tunes. It's like a month after.
Lionel Richie tunes. Why did you downgrade us? We were at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, he was. He just got a Kennedy Award.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, girl. Good for him. Good for him.
At any point in time, we've all been dancing on a ceiling. It's 2017. We're like, why are we all dancing on a ceiling? It's like not a good thing. We're like, what are we doing up here?
Why are you saying you and why are you saying me? Okay.
Say you, say me. What the fuck are you talking about? What does that mean, Lionel?
Yeah. Stick to your other grammar songs. Like, hello, is it me you're looking for? No, it's not. Okay, I apologize for that.
I can
so
see
I will
it in
make your
eyes.
Head play.
I can see it in your eyes. I can feel it in your touch. Then why are you asking? Like, what an odd question. It's hard to imagine his videos, you know?
What a presumptuous motherfucker. Hello, is it me you're looking for? No. No, it's not, actually. I was just walking by minding my own business.
Yeah, he's like swim fan. But I saw it in your eyes. I felt it in your touch. I'm so sorry that I was looking across a room and then brushed against you on my way to the exit, sir.
And how obnoxious to say that to a blind lady, huh? Is it me you're looking for? She can't see you. Even if she makes a bust that's perfectly over your face, that's only because she was touching it. But she was, like, really looking for anyone.
Well, he did say, I can feel it in your touch. Maybe she was, like, Morse coding, like, I'm looking for Lionel. Have you seen Lionel? Morse coding. I'm so sorry.
Brailing.
Brailing, yeah.
Yeah. So today we're excited because it's our Friday, and it is actually Friday. We're going to talk Top Chef. We're going to touch on the Below Deck reunion. It was a pretty chill reunion, so we don't have to devote a whole episode to it. But before we dive into that, we need to, like, get to the bottom of something, and that's going to require that we revisit a segment that we don't get to do that often, but sometimes it's important to revisit it. It's a segment we call Is Ariana Mad at Us?
Is Ariana mad at us? Is Ariana mad at us?
So we have...
This is legit, and this is Ben's fault, okay? Ben spent 2 hours making an amazing Sir Wars poster, which, if you haven't seen it, go to the Instagram. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, see, we've made tremendous inroads with Ariana over the past year. We sang karaoke with her. We went to Mexico with her. Ronnie just hung out with her last night. But she even came to my birthday party. But I may have imperiled all of it because when I made that Sir Wars image, because that's like now, I feel like that's one of our traditions, is that every year Star Wars always seems to come out around Vanderpump Rules, so we'd make a Sir Wars picture. So we made it, but I didn't put Ariana in the picture, and she tweeted at us saying, I'm mad I'm not in this.
Yeah, you see, we finally got a legit answer. Yes, Ariana is mad.
So, well, yeah. I will tweet at her right now and say, are you still mad at us, at Ariana 2525?
Well, she is sad because, well, not sad, but mad. Because Katie Cazorla was at Drag Queen Bingo. She was like the celebrity bingo caller. And I was like, oh my God, that's the girl to do it, you know? Because Katie Cazorla was like, look, she was pretending to roll dice, but then splooge all over your face with her hands. I'm like, you know, that's the perfect girl to do it.
She loves doing the splooge motion.
Yeah, she does. So Ariana was there, and she was in this red beret. And she's like, look, I'm in a beret. And I was like, I know. Like, I see it. And you're pulling it off. Like, I like it. And she was also wearing that Jack's Taco Bell sweatshirt thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're mad because mad people wear berets, you know? She's like, I am mad. How could I not be in that poster?
She really brought it up.
Yeah, she brought it up immediately. And I was like, because Ben did that, okay? You know who's not mad at me? Dumbo. Because when I did the artwork for Jersey, Dumbo was in the picture. You know? Dumbo will call me back.
There were only so many faces I could put in there because I just had to replace faces that were in there. So, of course, Brittany and Jax had to be there. Lisa had to be there. You know, I mean, I feel weird about replacing a Princess Leia with Stassi. But, you know, Stassi is sort of like royalty on Vanderpump Rules. I'm sorry. It just is. And then, you know, obviously I had to make Chewbacca Kristen. And then there was some random person that just made it Sheena. I guess that should have been Ariana. But I don't know. I guess... I guess I just had a lapse of judgment. And so I apologize to Ariana that she was not included in Sir Wars 2017. But we hope to to make it up to her in
the future. That girl is like super nice in real life, you know, and like you don't want to give her a bad Star Wars character, you know, because that's almost more offensive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could have made her C-3PO, because I did make R2-D2 Ken. I don't know if anyone noticed it, but I put Ken's hair on R2-D2. But I just tweeted Ariana, and we're just going to have to wait to see if she will even respond. So that concludes this week's episode, this week's segment of Is Ariana Mad at Us?
Is Ariana Mad at Us? Is Ariana Mad at Us?
But it's the first time that we can end with a yes.
But is she, I guess it's more like, is she still mad at us?
Look, a Star Wars image lives forever, man, okay? I'm going to put that on a t-shirt for you. It's gonna be in the rest of our lives. So yes, it matters forever.
Someone already stole it. Like, I was, you know, I'm such a petty fucker. And last night, Stassi tweeted out the picture and had like 500 likes, and she said something like, this is great AF, but she tweeted out, someone had made a wallpaper of it, which is cool and everything, but they didn't say, oh, I made a wallpaper of Watcher Crappin's like Sir Wars thing. I'm like, I spent 2 hours on that, you know, violating licensing, you know, issues. Yeah. And
I put my bank account at risk for this.
So they made like an iPhone wallpaper, and Stassi tweeted out, so of course I'm petty. And I was like, hey, in case you missed it, Stassi, here's the original that we made that the wallpaper was based off of. And she tweeted it out. She was like, she said something about tall grays. So
you got to be like Tamara Tattles. If she takes a screenshot of a show, she puts Tamara Tattles across it.
Our logo was on it. It said Watcher Crappins, and he cut it out. I can't put Watcher Crappins in the middle of it. Not in the middle of the artistry, okay?
Yeah.
Should we get on to Top Chef? Speaking of artistry,
it's Friday and we're just talking about whatever happened. I'm looking at a gas bill. Yeah, I'm literally looking at a gas bill right now. So stupid.
Yeah, I'm thinking about gas and bills.
Yeah, well, Joe's fat, so he can sure let out the gas. Okay, thanks a lot, Fatima. Your name starts with fat. So how about we stop making fat jokes, Fatima? Jerk.
So the episode ends like a little, it's like, you know, here's the winner's reaction. You know, Tyler from Connecticut, you know, he won last week, so it's exciting. And he's like, this is cool because I'm from Simsbury, Connecticut. And Carrie, meanwhile, she was on the bottom, and she's just like, wow, like the people liked my food, but not the judges. I mean, what a crazy world. And then I was
because
like,
you
I don't
smile.
Yeah. Because I forgot, like, her big issue is that she burnt potato chips last week.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's very, like, that's a big no-no in Tom Colicchio's.
The biggest no-no was that she smiled too much. I swear to you. They hate when she smiles. And this time she was like, you know what? I think they hate when I smile. Like, yeah. I'm getting it. Like, she's sensitive. And so now she's doing a closed mouth smile where it's like a smirk. She's like, I'm being positive, but I'm still being a man. So respect me, chefs. And they're like, okay. He's like, thanks for getting rid of the smile. That tasted great.
Yeah. Thanks. They're like the anti-Shanice. They don't love your smile.
Smiling causes wrinkles.
So the next morning after the opening credits, we hear some sort of like funk bass music playing. It was like semi-porno, semi-like, hey, here comes a lazy person walking down the hallway, you know?
Yeah. And who was it?
It was the bear. It was the bear den, right?
Yeah, it was the fat people walking down the hallway. It's like they have a music cue for everything in this show. I love it. They're like, hey, let's get a big guy. Let's get a big guy music cue. It should sound like, ba-dum, 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 bam-bam. They got it. Yeah. And I like that all the fat guys bond because fat people got to stick together, girl.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I'm excited for Jonah Hill's future, a sleep apnea machine. I forget, is Jonah Hill's real name Joe on this, I think, right? He's non-mustache Joe.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll have sleep apnea. I don't know. He just seems so cute and happy. When people are that young, I don't wish anything bad on them. I'm like, he's going to be healthy and fat forever and prove that you can do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jonah Hill, fake Jonah Hill, Bruce, and Tyler all live in the same room. And so they named it the Bear Den. And we saw a shot, and they had, like, some, like, little bear paws on, and they're like, "Rawr, we're the bear den, rawr." And then just like cuts to like quick fire challenge. I was like, "Oh, okay, I guess that's all the character development we're gonna get for this episode."
I mean, what is there? You know, that's what it's like being overweight. That is your character development. They're like, "That's the fat guy," you know. That's what, or gay. Like, that's the fat gay guy, you know? It's, or that's the fat gay bald guy. It's like, you know, you fuck yourself. But I would like to say, early prediction, I think Tyler will turn into Sheena. And he seems like the oddest choice to turn into Sheena.
Elaborate on that. He does talk like this. He has, like, kind of a thing when he talks, and then he puts all his words together like that.
Sleep apnea. But he does get a little Sheena, like, Grover in the back. Okay. Just keep watching. Let's see how it develops.
I'm going to listen for it. So then they walk into the kitchen and Padma's standing there and she goes, "I hope you guys are all rested after that first challenge because I'm going to put you to work today." And you can tell they're like, "Fuck you, Padma."
Yeah. And then she goes, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." It's like, why is Padma pretending she's like happy to be here? So
as if they don't have to like run through the paces every single episode on this show. Yeah. They're like, "We had 3 hours of sleep. Stop taunting us."
Yeah, she's like, "I'm gonna taunt you even further by acting like a happy person. Ha 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 ha." No one's buying it, Padma, okay?
"Look, there's a small security guard with a soul patch next to me. We're gonna say he's a chef."
"There's a short man with a basketball face standing next to me who owns lots of things. Chef, what's your face? Say hello."
Technically, his name is Troy Guard, so it's kind of funny that you say he has a basketball face, as a guard is a position in basketball.
He's a guard.
Yeah.
That's the saddest one. It's like, you're not the swisher. I mean, I don't know basketball placings, but I would rather be a swisher than like a guard.
I don't think there is a position called a swisher, but there is a football player, I believe, named Nate Swisher. Or maybe he was a basketball player. Maybe you were like secretly on top of it. Or maybe he's a baseball player. I don't remember.
Someone can look that up.
So gay. Hello, I'm not as gay because I'm in the fantasy football playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, you fantasize about football. That's not gay at all. You pick like the gayest thing that straight people do.
I don't know who Nate Swisher, there's a Nick Swisher who's a baseball player. There, we solved it. So we're going to do
one of the Top Chef classic challenges. It's the hardest for everybody. Ha ha ha, ha ha ha. The mise en place challenge. Ha ha.
Yes, the mise en place relay race. And we've seen this now for the past several seasons where, like, you know, a chef has to, like, cut up something. And then it's like, check. And then they check it. It's like, you're good. Move on. And then it's like the next person. And I'm actually a little surprised because normally Tom Colicchio is the judge. So it's weird that they outsourced it to, like, basketball face with a soul patch.
Yeah. But Padma loves him. Maybe they were like, he gives Padma life. So keep him around. Now, I love how they phrase things on this show. She's like, "We would like to welcome our sponsor, HelloFresh. Crappin's 30 for $30 off your first week of groceries. As always, your groceries have been sourced by their artisanal suppliers." Artisanal.
Artisanal. This
you killed
episode,
a cow. What did you kill a cow with a water brush in your, like a water paint brush water in your hand? Artisanal.
No, it just means they killed it with suspenders on. But the thing is that this show was so full of so many like ridiculous, pretentious moments all episode long. I was cracking up on my couch. There were so many comments on that. The most ridiculous thing that we heard all episode is coming up very shortly, but I'm not going to jump the gun just yet. Basically, in this mise en place, the first thing is that they have to peel and brunoise a quart of shallots, which basically means like do like a tiny dice on them. And then the next station, they have to peel and destem a quart of cremini mushrooms. And then they have to butcher like a bunch of tenderloin pieces that are all 7 to 8 ounces or something like that. So that's like the plan. And then whichever team wins gets to use leftover time to cook their dish. So,
but it's not just beef tenderloin, Ben. It's grass-fed beef tenderloin. It's like,
artisanal.
What is Snickers fed? Like not allowed here? They're like, sorry, we can't accept this. This has nuts in it from the Snickers bar. Please go to the back of the line. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha. So Brother Luck, he gets the ball rolling with the ridiculousness. because he basically, in the interview, he lifts up his arm. And this is the most ridiculous version we've ever seen of this, I would say. Because we've seen this before many
seasons.
Yeah,
he wins.
Make fun of it a lot.
Yeah.
And he goes, I have this tattoo, mise en place. It's a mise en place tattoo.
What does that even mean? And he's like, it means you have your shit together. I look at it every day, and then I know what to do. I'm like, what if your to-do list changes, you know? It's like putting a to-do list on your fucking arm. Who does that?
Yeah, I can't tell if his mise en place is like, if it was the word mise en place, but the tattoo looked like it was like chopped up onions and tomatoes and celery or something
like
that.
Yeah, it was piles of cubed vegetables. Like, what, do you wake up and do that every day? That's wasteful, sir. Do you eat a pile of chopped up carrots every day? What a stupid tattoo. Brother, look. I should have guessed.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I've ever seen anything that could outdo the standard pork belly, bacon, fork and knife serving plate tattoo. But mise en place tattoo is
the worst.
Truly the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
That's the worst. You aspire to get past that, right? Because in a restaurant, you start as the prep cook, then you're the sous, then you're, you know, there's levels. Who gets a tattoo like, let me prepare everything for you, chef? No, yeah. Make a chef thing. You know, make a chef tattoo.
Yeah. Do you really need a tattoo to like remind you to get your shit together? Do you really need that? Why? How about like a to-do list? How about just like an alert on your iPhone?
Yes, exactly. I'm using those now. It's like, bzz, bzz, don't have a heart attack today. And I'm like, okay, thanks. But also, Brother Luck, he opened a restaurant and then left. So you need to remind yourself of shit, sir.
And the restaurant was called Mise en Place by
I'm
Brother
so
Luck.
I'm so mad at Brother Luck. I don't know why, but I hate him, and he seems nice.
He seems so nice, but that tattoo, it's like, you just cannot. It's at least he doesn't have a faux hawk.
Oh, my God. Thank God. Thank God for baldness. This is when we say, thank you, male pattern baldness. Okay?
Yeah.
It's when it works out.
So then the mise en place relay gets underway. It's basically like, it's the usual, like, there's, like, shallot drums, like, Laura's going too slow, but they're going really fast, and then the blue team has the lead, and then all the big bears are peeling creminis, and their fingers are too big, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they make the fat guys peel the mushrooms. That was funny. They're like, why are we doing this? We're fat. This is not fair. Alaska. Now, I love the girl from Alaska.
Love Alaska.
She is hilarious. She's like, well, Brunois is just a fine dyes. However, I don't want to let my team down, you know, and I want to do it right. And you never know when Moose can come right in here and stampede over this, you know.
In Alaska, we learned that we have to conserve every shallot slice. So I have to do this very carefully because we don't know when our next barge full of shallots is coming through.
Yeah, that's when you've let yourself get too peaceful. Okay.
Yeah.
Peaceful people who have no fear fall off cliffs or crash into mountains. Okay. You need a little fear, babe.
Cause you need a little fear, babe, right this very moment.
Say you, say me.
Say Brunois, say mise en place.
Say Brunois together. I like when they make knife skills sound so fancy, like Brunois. It's a tiny little dice.
or chiffonade.
Yes, that's my favorite. My mom took a knife class because she's like, you're not a real chef until you've got your knife certification or whatever. She's like, would you like me to show you a chiffonade? It's cutting shit into long shapes. Just say that.
It's actually easier to say chiffonade.
You're right.
So either way, it looks like the blue team had the lead for a long time. And then the green team, but then Bruce was like the only butcher and he was taking a long time. And then the green team came up and then the green team looked like they were going to win. And I was like really rooting for the green team because the blue team was being cocky. But they messed up like two or three of their tenderloin cuts. And then Bruce was able to come in and win after all for their team. It was exciting. Ronnie's sipping something, or he got disconnected.
Oh, I had it on mute, so sorry, I was coughing. Are you there? Bruce is like, I could do this in my sleep, and I'm like, no, you can't, Bruce, okay? You couldn't even get the pomade out of your hair last night, okay? No one trusts
you,
Bruce.
Who said it's pomade? He just hasn't showered in 3 months.
Maybe, but I know pomade. I used to use it. It's greasy and sticky.
And it's thick and heavy.
Yes, I want to say something about men, though, in general. I talked about women politics a lot last night with my young millennial women friends.
Yeah, go ahead.
And they're like, you know how the new minority is like white guys? They're like, the last people you can be racist against is white American males. And we're like, shut up, you know?
Yeah.
I still say shut up to that. Shut up. But this is a perfect example of why it's hard to be a guy. When you grow up around a bunch of guys, you're taught to surround each other and go, bruh, do it, go faster, do it, come on, you can do it. In this way that's like cheering you on, but like you suck if you don't.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. I was like, who's going to succeed in peeling a mushroom when you've got two behind you? Or the guy with the handlebar mustache, like, bro, come on, bro.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I guess now would probably be a good time to mention the fact that Bruce looks very much like a video game character, right? Like, we agree he's, like, basically a mustache away from being Wario. Or he could be, like, Dr. Eggman from Sonic. Like, something is – like, I can imagine him, like, walking – like he's, like – I can imagine playing a game where he's, like, walking, like in, like, an outside landscape and, like, jumps over, like a bumblebee that, like, goes up and down and up and down. And he has to, like, jump over it. And then, like, he, like, hits a cactus and he has to bounce back and he flashes.
This is Bruce?
He's hurt a little bit. Bruce, yes. This is my vision of Bruce.
I can't believe you have a video game where Bruce jumps.
Girl,
even ripping
ability.
Apart that meat, he looked.
He had a special. Well, you know, Mario can jump, and there's no reason why he should be able to jump or do any of the shit he does.
Well, he's just bitter because his brother is taller, so he has to be the best all the time.
And can jump better. Luigi can jump way better. He's frantic. Those legs start going nuts, and then when he lands, he's like slipping and sliding. I mean, no one is the princess. Let's just get right to it. The princess is the shit because she gets that. She has that nice horizontal float. You know?
Yeah, but she's always getting kidnapped. She's like, help me, help. She's such a victim that way.
Maybe she wants to be.
That's
no one
what
ever
I'm
asked
saying,
her if she wants
know?
To be rescued, okay? Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, maybe she chose to go to that fire castle with Bao Bao.
Like, how many times does Mario have to, like, see her go off with Bowser before he realizes maybe she wants to be with Bowser, okay? Maybe that's what she wants.
The
Bruce.
Nintendo University Wii or UWii or whatever it is, my sister has it, and you can play four people at a time. So you can actually be the princess, this bitch. I mean, make an effort. Like, every other character in it looks like they're working, you know? She doesn't. She floats around. She's like, ow. Like, when she's hurt, she's a princess.
Goes,
ah. It's like, get out of here.
She's a princess. She's allowed. Well, she's a princess. That's what princesses do.
It's 2017. Learn how to save the castle. I watched Downton Abbey.
That's true. I'm sure... What's her face? Prince Harry's fiance would not just go, ow.
Yeah.
What's her name again?
She'll cut you.
Megan
that girl
Corkery
is beautiful and she is unafraid.
She is unafraid.
I can tell by her people photos.
I am sad that we actually never devoted a bonus episode to her. But anyway, so now.
This time.
What is her name? What is her name? I called her Megan Corker. I don't even think that's even remotely close to her name.
I can't care about royalty, but I can look at her picture on the People magazines in the checkout. And I'm like, I like her. I'm in.
Oh my God. I was sort of close. Her name is Meghan Markle.
I don't like the name Markle. So she changes it when she gets married, right?
It'll be Meghan Markle royalty. Do they even have last names?
I don't know. What's a queen's last name? Queen.
I think it's like Queen Elizabeth.
Queen
Fernandez.
Elizabeth. Yeah. Oh my God, that would be amazing. Queen Elizabeth Thompson-Smith.
Like Queen Elizabeth Novotny. She's in a book club.
But that bitch is the one who shows up and never read it. She just tries to stay in the conversation so she can talk about her husband.
Would you believe what happened in the plot twist on page 382?
Like, there was no plot twist.
You know what? I did not read it.
But it's similar to what Diana did to me. What a little bitch.
And now this Meghan Markle, a common American.
Gone, girl. Just like Princess Diana.
Prince of Tides, last time I checked, he was not related to me.
We're off the rails. So, okay, you're mute. You're coughing. So that's what that mute is all about. I can tell. So while Ronnie coughs,
I was actually drinking water. Thank you.
I'm sorry to shame your water sipping. You can drink water not on mute. It's okay.
No.
Okay, fine. Be that way.
I don't want people to know that I need things.
I've been drinking water all this time. Not on mute. Hello.
Haven't heard it. Nice work.
Thanks. So so now that like the relay race is over, the blue team has won. Everyone has basically 8 minutes to cook their meat shallots and mushrooms. So everyone's basically doing that. And Claudette, she starts babbling about how, you know, she's the only Mexican making Mexican food, so that's what she's going to be doing. And I was like, there's something in the way she's talking about this almost defensively that makes me think she's going to get eliminated today.
Also, she keeps saying Baja style, which Baja Fresh is like, I don't know, I feel like that's white people Mexican food. By the way, right. Which I love. I go there all the time.
I love Baja Fresh. It's so much better than Chipotle.
Yeah, but don't bring in that word. You know, that's what people think of. We all know Baja Fresh. She's like, I'm doing it Baja style. Well, you better give me a tiny cup of guacamole for like $1.39 then. Okay, tortoiseshell glasses.
I thought Baja style meant that you asked who let the dogs out.
Woo,
that's
woo,
grrr, a little reference to the Baja Man, a little 1999 humor.
Or a reference to the bear team. Grrr. They were all growling and Tyler goes, rough, rough. And they're like, you're not a dog, you idiot. And he's like, well, I'm not a bear either.
I totally missed that. I think because I was like preoccupied on stupid shit, like Adrian going, salt.
Adrian's like, hey, Adrian, how are you doing today? Le Bernardin. What's your favorite color? Le Bernardin. What are you making? Le Bernardin. That's all she says. Le Bernardin. Le Bernardin. Musical break. Le Bernardin. Musical break. It's a musical break for Le Bernardin. It's a musical take for Le Bernardin. What's your name? Le Bernardin. Yeah.
So it's time for tasting. So Padma and Basketball start tasting things. Rogelio's, his sauce is broken, because he's like, normally it takes 45 minutes to make the sauce, and I only have 8. I'm like, so don't make the sauce. What are you doing?
Use skim milk and cornstarch. Duh.
And why is it like, by the way, why is it a necessity that if you have mushrooms and beef that you have to make a cream sauce with it? Can't you do something else with those mushrooms?
I didn't like watching them cook with the most boring things in the world, because they all made kind of the same thing, but said it different, right?
Yeah. To be fair, they really did not have any time. They just had to start searing that steak and just cooking mushrooms. I just feel like, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a Michelin star or anything, but I feel like there are other options other than a mushroom cream sauce to make. Like, I don't know.
But Rogelio's coming into it going, I'm not going to make the shit I make at my restaurant. I'm going to try something. And if he fails, he's like, well, I tried.
Yeah.
Unlike Smiles over there, who's like, you know what I learned? To stop making everything I make at my restaurant. Well, yeah. You didn't even invent that stuff. Why would you be making it? That's not fair. It's cheating.
P.S. Later on, she totally makes something she's made before.
Exactly.
So Troy Gard, he likes Claudette's umami flavor, which I don't know why I wrote that down. There's something like umami is the fifth flavor or fifth sense, something like that. But it's the fifth flavor. And we all love umami. We all love the flavor of umami, etc. But there's something like really annoying about someone saying, I really like the umami in your sauce. Ooh, you're really bringing out the umami flavor. For some reason, I feel like I only want umami to be written. I don't think I want people to ever say it.
I want it on a hamburger shop sign. Like, that's it. Yeah. What is umami? Like, I don't even know.
So umami is another flavor. It's kind of abstract and it's hard to describe, but it's like neither sweet nor salty nor sour nor bitter. It's like that flavor you get from beef and mushrooms, like a savory, like rich, earthy. Yeah.
So it's
like,
a description of a flavor. It's not an actual...
It's actually scientifically proven to be a flavor. But I think because the concept is relatively new, it's like hard for us to wrap our brains around. So there's nothing wrong saying like this brings out the umami in it. It's like the same as saying this brings out the sweetness in it. But for some reason, when people say it, or like when Troy said it...
I thought it was an ingredient.
No. It's like... I'm trying to think the other examples. Usually people cite meat and mushrooms as umami, like that meaty flavor. Like, you know, when you have
like an earthy, I love a mushroom and I love a meat, so I totally enjoy the flavor.
When you have like a piece of meat, it's like it's not that it's salty or sour or whatever, you know?
Umami. Well, yes, it was weird when he was like, I love the umami flavor. But then Padma, of course, topped it. She goes, I like tarragon. Well, thanks. Thanks for coming into work today, Padma. She's like, I can taste tarragon. Tell your friends. You earned this role.
We are such catty bitches. He said he tasted the umami. She likes tarragon.
Well, it's just when foodies get so serious about food, like at some point in this episode, someone's like, yeah, I made a something something with some salt and pepper. I'm like, that's not fancy. Stop saying it over and over, okay? You can just say I made you a fucking steak with some cream sauce. Like, you don't have to list everything. And then there's a little grapefruit rind, which we made by taking a grapefruit and, you know, not a big grater like cheese, but a small grater, a small one. And just a little, just enough. It's like, shut up. Just be quiet.
So at the bottom of the quickfire was Rogelio and Tyler. And the favorites were Brother Luck and fake Jonah Hill. And fake Jonah Hill, Chef Joe, he wins and he gets $5,000 and immunity and a year of a product that's not as good as HelloFresh. So we won't name it, but
HelloFresh. HelloFresh, Crappins 30. That's your code. Crappins $30 off your first week of deliveries.
So now let's move on to the elimination challenge. So
I have to say one more thing. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
but
go ahead.
Happy Padma is killing me. I don't know what happened to Padma where she comes in and she's just so energetic and happy, but it's hilarious. She goes, of you guys did awesome. I was like, who are you? Okay.
It must be like the lack of oxygen in Denver is like getting to her head. She's, you know, she's like, when she's looking at the group, she just sees a bunch of balloons. She's like, oh, how nice.
That one's twisted into a giraffe. I love tarragon.
She thinks tarragon is, never mind. I was going to make some stupid joke that literally made no sense. Like,
I would have been so impressed if you had a tarragon joke. Like, I would have just dropped the mic and quit my job.
Well, I was going to try to do like a tarragon / Gone Girl joke, but you already mentioned Gone Girl. And then for some reason, I was going to make a joke relating tarragon to Baby Driver, which truly makes no sense. Just my brain is going in that way. It's like, let me see if I can do this.
I'll look for that next week. Keep working on it.
So Chef Alex Seidel comes out, and he has long hair, and Tyler's like, he's like a Greek god. Now, is Tyler gay? I mean, obviously a straight man can say that, but he made a few comments where I start to be like, huh, maybe?
I hope so. I love when gay guys are like normal and talented and bald and fat and have glasses. I love that because it feels like that's so impossible in a gay bar, you know? Unless it's like big fat gay guy with glasses night, which I will go to that night, you know?
So Padma reveals that the gang is going to be going to a farm. This guy Alex has a farm, and they're going to be going. And they're going to make a 4-course progressive menu, and each course must incorporate one specific ingredient.
So want to know what? You have to wait. Ha 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 ha. Also, this is how she describes this guy. She goes, Alex bridges the gap between farmer and customer. I'm like, so what? He drives the vegetables to a restaurant? What does that mean? You grow shit and you sell it to restaurants.
Yeah.
Bridging the gap. Shut up.
So, yeah. So Padma's like tantalizing them with the secret ingredient. It's like why? Why, Padma? Why? Just let them show up and then say, guess what? You have to incorporate an ingredient.
Whatever stained Gail has on her terribly patterned dress will be the secret ingredient for the day. We'll have to wait and see. Ha 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 ha.
I'm terribly sorry, but we actually can't tell you what the secret ingredient is, because if word gets out too early, Gail may get out of her cage and raid the entire supply of it.
So
she gets very powerful.
Laverna Dan is like, oh my god, a 4-course progressive. Well, I'm a planer. And by the way, I'm starting to really like Laverna Dan.
Oh, no, she's one of my favorites.
I'm really liking her now. But she's like, I'm a planer. Here's what my mom always says.
Yes.
Proper prep prevents piss poor performance. I'm like, what mom does that? It's like, pee, 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 pee. Okay, Laverna Dan.
She couldn't even remember it. To be fair, it was proper preparation. So it was even more of a mouthful. Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. I'm like, what sort of mnemonic device is that? How are you ever supposed to remember it? Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. You can't even say it slowly.
Like, what are we warming up to do, like a Shakespeare? It's like yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, red leather. Like, what are you warming up my voice? I'm a planer. And planer. Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. No, moms need to come up with more easily repeatable things.
Well, as my mother used to always say, witty wordplay when withered wanders well without whispering willows in winter.
You see, your mom would be an asshole if she did that to you. She'd be like, there he goes again, messing it up. There's six P's, not five. There's six W's, Ben, not five.
Clever cooks count cups in the kitchen.
She calls my job Pepernapan. I don't know why, but she loves peas, my mom.
So then there's like this really hilariously douchey moment that's, again, just so pretentious. But they're in their cars going to the farm the next day, and Jonah Hill is there with Bruce in the car. And he's like, you know what? I really want to do this one dish that, to be fair, he's like, honestly, I saw it on your Instagram, Bruce. And Bruce is like, oh, I bet I know which one it is. And he's like, it's the beet agnolotti. Bruce is like, that's exactly what I was thinking of. I was like, you guys have to relax. This is too ridiculous.
Yeah, also that stealing from somebody's Instagram. It's gross. And not like Bruce's, when he's like,
Bruce's Instagram.
I know, but Fat Joe was like, I saw this thing on your Instagram that I want to make. It's like, that's kind of stealing. Okay.
It was just like, it reminded me a little bit of the end of Top Gun, which I hope is not a spoiler for anyone, but when...
spoiler, too late. You can't complain about Top Gun now.
What was Val Kilmer's character name? Ice or something like that? Iceman?
Dog. He's like, mad dog.
But he goes up to Maverick and he's like, you know, you can ride my tail anytime, whatever. But that's what it was. It's like, all right, come on, Jonah. You can ride my tail anytime. You make that beat on your Lodi.
That's hot.
Yeah.
Remember when Val Kilmer was so hot?
Oh,
take my breath away.
Oh, my goodness. That's also when Tom Cruise was so hot, too. Tom Cruise is still pretty hot.
I think he's still hot. Yeah.
Considering he's well-preserved. He's starting to get his fillers.
Yeah, he's got the, like, macrobiotic diet still at the Erewhon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's just wearing mom jeans. You know, it's like little things he needs to change. But he's still hot.
Yeah,
So back in another car, Claudette is in there with people, and they're like, God, you're so quiet. And she's like, I'm quiet, and I attack when I need to. I have an astrologer, and she told me it would be good for me here. Like, I'm witchy. Not the sacrificing animals kind of witchy, just the chola eyebrows when I was a teenager and purple hair kind of witchy, you know?
Just the sort of witch that makes someone have to spit up cherry, you know, nonstop in Maine. when she said that her astrologer said it would be good for her to come on the show, I literally wrote a note that says, okay, she's eliminated. 100% eliminated.
Yeah. No, look, if your astrologer tells you that, fire them. That is like the most basic shit to say. You're going to do great. I could have asked the fucking guy at the liquor store to tell me that. So they get to the farm, and farm guy, who's not as hot as Tyler thinks, but I really like Tyler, so I'm trying to make him hot in my head. I'm like, is he hot? I don't know. And he's like, look, here's a whole bed of curd. And I was like, well, I want to find that hot, but I don't.
Yeah, because the big twist is they're like, well, you're here at the farm, and I bet you thought it was a farm with produce, but guess what? We're a dairy farm, and we're the first artisanal sheep dairy and creamery in the state of Colorado.
So artisanal.
Yeah.
Our cheese is spray painted by Banksy, and we never even see him. He just comes in and leaves.
You know that there's a difference between artistic and artisanal, right?
But to me, no, not really, because artisanal is a form of artistic blah, blah, blah. Good. Good. I'm just going into Sheena's spasms now.
Just when all else fails, go, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, since you're not a Kindle and I can't press the look it up button, could you explain it actually to me?
Artisanal? Well, I mean, my idea of artisanal, and I'll get the right the right definition, but I feel like artisanal pertains to like the making of crafts and goods and like handmade and like it's so it says artisanal is of or relating to the characteristic of an artisan, so of a product, especially food and drink, made in a traditional non-mechanized way. So I think it's not so much about, yes, it is an art, but it's not about, it's like
it's a craft. Like you wouldn't,
yeah, I think it's like you were creating goods.
It's basically
handmade.
The Junior League Christmas fair when everybody makes their own necklaces and sells them for too much money.
That is exactly. It's artisanal necklace.
Okay.
So, but then so they walk in, as you were saying, and there's this giant vat, just like full of white, looks like white milk. And then because the cheese guy, because Alex is the main guy, but he has a sidekick who has this beard. It's very hipster. And he's like, yeah, I've recently rented this vat. And they're like, whoa.
A vat of curd. Wow. Is that artisanal curd? Look at that. And he starts putting his fingers in it, and it puts his fingerprints on it. I don't really like it. But I did like that the guy with the beard was kind of flirting with Tyler, right? Because Tyler's like, yeah, curd. I love curd. And he's like, me too.
Secretly he's lactose intolerant, but he's like, yeah, no, I love curd. Yeah, I would, by the way, as much shit as we're talking, if I were in that group, I would totally be like, whoa, also. So like, I get
fresh goat cheese and sheep's cheese and all that shit when I was growing up, because we lived by so many farms. Yeah. And it was delicious. Haven't found anything like it since.
Yeah, I literally just bought pate at the farmer's market last week. So I'm like, I'm one of these. I'm awful too, okay?
Well,
I'm
we
awful.
Didn't know it was artisanal back then. We were just like, lesbian Aunt Josie is squeezing the milk out and making cheese.
Yeah.
Well, it was, you know, harsher. What,
I actually really appreciated this, because then the group eats samples, four different cheeses that this farm makes. And one of them was a sheep's milk feta. And there's this sheep's milk feta that my friend gets from like a cheese shop in Silver Lake, and it is divine. It's the best feta I've ever had in my life. And they recently stopped stocking it, and I want to find a replacement creamy feta. And that's like a mission.
Honest question. What's the difference between goat feta and sheep feta?
I mean, I think it's a flavor thing. I don't know the answer. I imagine it's a flavor texture. You know, like the way goat cheese is different than like,
yeah,
deer,
soft.
Like cow cheese.
And then, but the, yeah, and but feta this, is yeah. like crumbly.
Yeah, because for instance, the most feta that we know comes like in a block, right? And or it's like more of a crumbly cheese. But this feta that I had, which was like marinated in like an oil, was creamy. It was like a creamy feta, but it tasted like feta. And a lot of French feta is also a little bit on the creamier side, whereas like a Bulgarian feta is like firmer and more pickly because it's like in a brine.
Oh yeah, the Bulgarians love their pickly shit.
Yeah.
They love sure the pickle. Do. You never know when you're not going to be able to go to the store for like 2 months. Like, hey, honey, get out the pickled feta. Okay, so now this is a team challenge, right?
Yeah, so they break up into two teams. Oh, I think we forgot to talk about how Padma split up the teams initially. She's like, all right, one, two, three, four,
1972, 1786. When was the Declaration of Independence? I love tarragon. They're like, let's just separate ourselves. She yeah. really had a look of complete like, terror on her face.
It was hard for her. It was yeah. she blanked. She was like, how many? What's the middle point of 14 again? When do I stop counting?
You don't get to see her eye or her eyebrows like come in like that, where she's like terrified. I was yeah, like, oh my god, her like, eyebrows move.
She's like, am I supposed to be doing this as A-B-A-B, or am I supposed to be just doing the first seven people to the left? I don't
She's
know.
Like, hey, Siri. How many... Oh, Siri came on. I'm sorry, whoever I made their Siri come on. Siri's so dumb.
Did you mean to make Siri come on?
She said, Siri's going, hey, Siri, how many outs Siri came on? Siri's
hey,
an idiot.
Hey, Siri, do you like tarragon?
Look. Here's what I found on the web for how many outs Syria came on Sirius Media. Have a look. Siri, you're an idiot.
I hate when Syria gives me web results. Like, I'll be driving and I'll be like, Siri, like, I'll ask a question and she'll be like, all right, here's some web results. I'm like, I'm fucking driving, Siri. You're supposed to say things to me.
She can't do it. I'm like, call my dad. Will, which is your dad? Is it Dan something? Is it David something? I'm like, oh my God, now I have to talk to this bitch. Just shut up. I turn Siri off on everything.
The worst is when you have duplicates in your address book and you say, I'll say something like, Siri, call Ronnie. And I'll be like, would you like to call Ronnie Karam or Ronnie Karam? I'm like, Siri, can you just like put two and two together already?
Would you like to FaceTime Ben? Would you like to message B-side? Would you like to call FaceTime and reach out and touch him with the phone, Ben B-side Mandelker? It's like, shut up. You're going to fail whatever you do. Just be quiet.
So anyway, now that the teams have their they've got their assignment, they break up to start discussing their menu. And the very first thing that happens is basically Claudette has an idea and Bruce shoots it down. So it's like, oh, okay, this we've seen this before. The woman, I'm not even trying to be like do a gender thing, but it always seems to be that a woman says something and a guy mansplains over her on Top Chef.
It is with chefs, though.
And it happens a lot with women and women, too, because that happens, too, in this episode. But in this case, it's like, I would say it's like 75% men do it to women on Top Chef.
Yeah, none of the men shot each other down the same way. And that is true in a kitchen. It is really hard to be in a man's world. That is a man's world. You have to get really fucking tough. And Bruce, yeah, who can't even walk across the damn kitchen to get his own meat, is like, well, I don't think a chip goes very well with the sauce of the thing. I'm like, shut up, Bruce. Wash your hair. Yeah. How about that, okay?
Yeah.
Work with her idea. It's a team.
Yeah. And meanwhile, on the other team, someone was like, let's do a soup. And Handlebar is like, no soup. It won't look nice. I'm like, are you crazy? Soup always looks nice. Soup presents so well. It always looks fabulous. It's like a beautiful little soup with a thing. If you put a little garnish on top, it always looks great. Always.
Yes. Why do you think God invented cilantro, sir? And he's like, you can't plate soup. You can't plate soup. That's why we have bowls. What is wrong with this guy?
Have you never seen a beautiful soup presentation? It's probably one of the easiest things to make look beautiful because it's one color and it's just in a bowl.
It's personal because he has a mustache. He's probably had some times where he's got a piece of crab stuck in his mustache and nobody told him.
So then, meanwhile, Laura had said before that she's a pastry chef. And she starts to say something about what sort of dessert she wants to do. And he's like, oh, beignets. We got to do beignets. We're going to do beignets. She's like, well, what about beignets. I was like, I was like, right now, love Laura, hate Handlebars.
Love Laura. But Laura's one of those who's like, I came here to collaborate, but that's really hard. Tell him to shut the fuck up, okay?
Yeah.
That's what a chef does. Even Amish was like, he's bossy, but I'm going to do whatever I want anyway because it's normal for a young male chef to be that way. I was like that. Okay, maybe that was normal, but it's still not okay. Tell him to shut the fuck up. And then, of course, he ends up failing.
I know, with his whey sauce. That sounds very unappetizing.
Don't trust people with evil,
Handlebar.
Yes, with a handlebar from like the saloon in fucking Gunsmoke, okay?
Yeah, I saw a guy with a handlebar mustache in Silver Lake last week. I was like, ugh.
You
ridiculous.
Need something and I don't want to figure out what it is, you know?
So they go to Whole Foods, Handlebar Joe is gonna make whey sauce, and Tyler starts telling a story about how as a kid, he was like really into Julia Child, and then he like dressed as Julia Child once for Halloween or something, and then he liked it so much that he wore the outfit every week. So then that's when I started to think maybe he's gay, because he did think the other guy was hot, which I thought was just like a straight dude being like, oh, he's handsome. But then he starts talking about how he dressed up like Julia Child every week as a child.
Yeah, but gay guys dress up like fabulous people, not Julia Child. That's like a different kind
you?
Of – that's no
how
offense, Julia
you?
Child. But
no, offense taken on her behalf.
It's just like a different kind. Like, you don't watch Julia Child and you're like, oh my God, she is fabulous. You look at her like, that is a talented woman that I want to learn from, you know?
Last time I checked, a non-fabulous woman does not get a Meryl Streep portrayal.
Well, she didn't even like that. Did you read the article where she was like, I can't believe people are making it blah, 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 fiction,
no,
fiction.
No, she wasn't alive to see Julia and Juliet, but she didn't like the book, the original book. She was alive for that, but she was not alive for the movie.
Yeah, you see, that's no Liza. That's why no one like dresses like Julia Child at drag. But this guy, he's like, I wore this every week as a kid, and then they showed him in the little outfit, and he has a microwave behind him. I'm like, Julia Child is rolling over in her grave, or at least tossing and turning. Because
she's not, because I have a Julia Child cookbook, and she mentions microwaves.
Oh my
microwaves
God.
Are part of her repertoire.
No!
Yes. Yes, Ronnie. I am pushing back on all your Julia Child statements.
Yeah, they're ignorant. I mean, I just watched her when I was really, really young. I just figured she would be horrified by a microwave.
No. No, she uses them here and there, but it's not a central part of her oeuvre.
That was
but
not
anyway,
in the movie, Meryl Streep. You lied to me.
So they're still in Whole Foods, and at one point, this really pissed me off. Like, I was, like, getting really fired up over stupid shit, as evidenced by the fact they were probably only 15 minutes into this episode. So at one point, they're in Whole Foods, and Handlebars goes up to Amish Chris, and he's like, so the beignets and everything, you're still feeling chocolate? And Chris is like, yeah. And he's like, okay, I think we should talk about that a little later. I'm like, no, you're not going to talk about it, because it's not your dish. And second of all, beignets and chocolate are perfect together. They are fantastic together. That's like the best way to have a beignet.
Yeah, that's like the point. They come usually with a side of chocolate, you idiot.
What do you want, a whey sauce with it? You stupid handlebar idiot.
The best consistent thing about all competition shows are those guys suck the most, you know?
Yeah.
They have to control everything and then they end up sucking.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a... I think, obviously, a beignet could go well with many things. But I feel like pushing back on the chocolate... I feel like the chocolates are... It's, you know, you do that chocolate right, like a deep, rich chocolate, like with good chocolate, and get some butter in there, too. Yeah, you don't mess with that.
Handlebar doesn't even know what a beignet is. You know, he's one of those guys who's like, it's beignets, and then it's like a donut with some whipped cream on it, and you're like, you idiot.
It's like when I went to Mohawk Bend in Echo Park once, and they were like, oh, we made beignets, but we used pizza dough, and it was like these, like, chewy-ass balls with, like, powdered sugar on them.
That's
exactly
right. When you order beignets in L.A., everybody does their own version. Then say it's, like, our version of beignet, you know, with the catch of your name. But don't serve me pizza dough with some sugar on it, motherfucker. And this is the one who would do that.
He would. I think it's clever. And he'd probably put it on like a mini pizza tray. Like, look, it's sort of an homage to like the pizza dough's roots, but it's actually a beignet. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a pizza dough.
He's disgusting. But I love that he was saying that to the Amish guy because he's like, look, I legit know people who have had that mustache since the 1920s. I'm Amish, okay? And I know that chocolate works. So say whatever you want and I will do whatever I want. Clear, Handlebars, clear.
Also, photos of young Chris hanging with Marcus Samuelson, and young Chris was hot. Wow.
Aren't they all when they're young?
That's true, too. So now that night, they are all back from shopping, and the green team gathers together, and Laura, they're all just like talking about whatever, and Laura's like, so you guys, I was just thinking about this challenge, and it's supposed to be about the cheese, so maybe we should like... highlight the cheese, and everyone's just sort of like ignoring her. And then or like Fatima says this bullshit. She goes, I think that's what's so crazy is that like there's seven of us and we're all so different. I was like, could you listen to Laura, please? Could you please listen to Laura? She is your shining light.
Yeah, but no one can listen. It's the world of chefs. If you're not forward and strong, no one respects you, you know? Like she's talented, but she's not going to stand for it. She's like, oh, wah. Like no one's listening to me. And she, what's his buns? Amish is Chris. Like, you know Chris. What I would like you to do? Like, he becomes the teacher for everybody.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what I would like you all to do is just stop worrying about the individual and worry about the team and trust that we'll catch each other. And then Handlebar is like, no way. I'm not going to trust anybody. If you hear somebody with a strong idea, you listen to that person because they know what they're talking about. Well, yeah. You think that because they're all your ideas.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm just not there yet. I'm not there where I can trust someone else. I'm like, well, why do you expect anyone to trust you?
Yeah, because Handlebar. He's the loudest voice, and he says it like he says it out loud. He's like, you trust the one who – it's like the squeaky wheel needs a grease, et cetera, et cetera.
Listen, if you got a Handlebar mustache in 2017, you are actively working against someone trusting you, okay? So just know that.
Totally. I still love when someone said he looks like the guy that's tying a girl to the train tracks.
That was Chris who said that.
So good.
Yeah, I actually like Chris a lot, and I like his outlook, and I think he seems very reasonable and a good chef.
But where this guy Handlebar could have been helpful was with two. Like if he knows he's doing the chops wrong and they don't look right, why isn't he telling him, here's how to do it? Show him
because
once or
twice
to do it.
Because two is not a woman. Because two is not a woman.
Oh.
So, you know?
Yeah, so he won't, like, talk down to him. Ugh.
So then the next day, now they're cooking for the elimination challenge, and Claudette is going to be doing some sort of smoked fish for the first course, and she's working with Adrian. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to let Adrian take the lead because Adrian works at Le Bernardin, and she's like a great chef. So I'm just going to let her take the lead. So again, bad omen that the astrologer clearly did not anticipate.
Where'd you hear that she worked at Le Bernardin? Just kidding. She says it like 5 times an episode. Also, trout and cheese.
Yeah.
That so, even on the Food Network, they will kick you off for that. Even on Food Network Star, they're like, fish and cheese? No.
I think fish and cheese can work.
Tuna
like
melt.
Crab. Yeah, tuna melt, crab. I've had like, there's, what was the name of that? McCormick and Schmick. They have like some crazy fish dish, like a stuffed salmon that has like brie and scallops on the inside, and it works. It's good. It can work.
Yeah, it can work. But on food networks or food shows, it's like a huge rule that everybody says, no fish and cheese. How disgusting. Yeah. I like tarragon.
So then as they're cooking, Fatima chimes in with this just made me laugh because it just felt so pretentious, even though there's nothing. I mean, what she was saying made sense, but it just made me laugh when I was watching.
Fatima goes, searching fat right now. Yeah.
Fatima goes, our team's vision is to tell the story of the cheese. I get it. It is. You have to tell this. You have to tell a story through your meal, and it's of the cheese. But for some reason, this like earnest, like the story of the cheese, it's the journey this cheese has gone on.
Our vision. My vision board was to make a story, and in the story was the story of cheese. Like, get out of here. And then their story is cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's a common story. It's like the Bible
actually liked
of cheese.
That. I actually like that they did cheese and crackers, because as long as they're doing the story of cheese and crackers is like the classic cheese combination. And like, why not make an homage to that? I also like the homage to Real Housewives of Orange County because they included compressed cucumbers. And I was like, I know a restaurant in Orange County that makes a compressed salad.
The compressed cucumbers. We smashed some cucumbers into a mold. And okay, that's what you did. But way to come up with a fancy way. So, the handlebar guy is like, there's something smells. It smells like burnt oil. What is it? It's burnt carrots. And two's like, oh no, I don't think it's the carrots. They're not burnt. It must have come from the back of the pot, which fire the dishwasher because that's terrible. Also, yeah. Two always burns everything, which we're learning. And he's like, handlebar doesn't mean to be mean. He's just a perfectionist, you know, but I got this. I totally got this. And then, Handlebars goes, don't worry, the fat will always round out the bitterness.
I think two said that the fat would round out the bitterness, which is, I don't think in life that usually works. I usually think the fat augments it.
Yeah, I was gonna say it doesn't work for me.
Just look at Tyler. So two is like not butchering well, and then he's like tying the butcher string around the meat, and Tom Colicchio is coming through with his walk. He's like, hey guys, what's going on, two?
Hey, what do you think of steak? Huh? Where'd you first? What's your journey with the steak? Huh? What's your vision?
What's the story of the cheese? Huh? Okay, two. Is that how you're gonna tie the? Padma's not here, so I'll try to do my best, Padma. Did you mean to tie the steak like that? Two.
Something something gale pattern something something. Hey, you know what? You're not tying that right. I'm not gonna help you, but I am because I'm an actual chef who owns restaurants. So I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna mentor you right now. And she was like, oh, my God, he's tying a knot.
Yeah.
But I think Tom's going to keep two around because, you know, older people like to mentor, you know?
Yes. Yes. And two is so nice and he's cute and I like two.
He's
so
like,
Laura,
wow, you tied a knot. Like he was so over the moon by that tie.
He's like, it's so clean. Meanwhile, Laura was making her cracker with cheese rinds from the cheese. And she starts talking about how in Alaska, you know, they have to use every bit. Like, conservation is important because, like, she gets her flour from a barge. Literally, she has to wait for the barge to come through the ice floes to get it. And so, and then she goes, you know, I feel like I'm the only chef on Top Chef this season, or really any season, that's had a bear in her refrigerator. And then they cut to Tom Colicchio, and I was like, I see what you did there. I see what you did there, producers.
Cut to Tom in a refrigerator, a walk-in. Plenty of bears in fridges, honey, but I loved your bear eye soup. Okay, so that was really good. I'm so really liking her. I feel like she does give herself credit and she is confident, but she hasn't learned to do it in the American overly aggressive way.
Yeah.
And it's going to fuck her.
Yeah. I like her. I could see her being a character in a sort of like Northern Exposure type show, you know, like a show like yes. But like a gritty, like a 2017 version that would be on FX where it's like, oh, look how serious it is in Alaska.
Yes.
Like she's harbors, like,
I feel left out. Yeah. At one point she goes, I feel left out and isolated from the group. I'm like, and you're from Alaska. Like, that's really harsh if you feel isolated.
She definitely has like scenes where she sits on the fender of a pickup truck with another guy and they like share like a flask of whiskey and they talk about high school.
Yeah. You know? She's like, why doesn't he want to kiss me?
Yeah.
Is he only here for my bear eye soup?
Too many things have happened.
Oh my God. The now, moose are coming. Run.
Wait, save the cabbages. I was gonna make kimchi. So Adrian, meanwhile, the last sort of like important part of this cooking thing, I mean none of it's really important, but the last thing that's notable is that even though Claudette volunteered to do a cold smoked fish, she doesn't apparently know how to do it, and Adrian has to teach her, and Adrian's like, Labernadan never Labernadan me on Labernadanning.
That girl doesn't know how to Labernadan a Labernadan. That's for sure.
I mean, she was about to cook the Labernadan before cold Labernadanning the Labernadan.
They have so many supplies. Like, if you want to make your trout taste smoked, put some smoke shit on there.
Put some liquid smoke on it. Yeah. No one's going to know.
Yeah. Right out loud. They don't know. They don't know. No. Do you remember last year when someone was like, oh, there's no flour. How will I make my mac and cheese? I'll use cornstarch. And we were horrified. Both of us were like falling on the floor like, who does that? And Tom was like, yeah, that's the best mac and cheese I ever had. Whoa.
Well, I could tie a knot around this. I'll show you how. So the judges sit down for judging and like, there was so much tension in the air because clearly Graham Elliott and the cheese farmer guy were having a statement eyewear battle, you know, like Graham Elliott had like his white framed glasses. And the other guy had like his blue framed glasses. And I was like, I was going to make a statement.
Graham's like hangry. I think Graham is just hangry. He's lost so much weight. He looks great. But being around all this steak and stuff, he's like, you didn't honor the cheese. You didn't make love to the cheese. Do you know how I would kill to make love to cheese? Like, he's getting mad about stupid things.
Yeah. So they start to present. So for the first course, the blue team offers up. This is Adrian and Claudette. They do a smoked trout with cacio pecora. And then the green team does that cheese and crackers with Shepherd's Halo something or another. So Tom likes the cheese and crackers. And then Padma finally... Padma turns to the cheese guy and does a classic Padma. She's like, did you think it was smoked enough? He's like, no.
At one point she said, I don't taste the smoke. Like, she was really mad about the smoke. Yeah. I was like, what
can
happened
to you?
We
got Gail Simmons in here. Maybe she can taste the smoke. I mean, you know her. She's always hanging around cauldrons.
Padma went from the happiest person in the world to like, I don't taste smoke.
In terms of like the blue team, they didn't taste the smoke, but they really loved Adrian's chip that she made. She made a really good chip. So apparently this season is like very chip heavy, you know, because last week there was a burnt chip that caused a problem, but this week there's a very lovely chip.
Yeah.
So
she's like, I have to use every part of the cheese. I have made a price tag chip for you. I hope you enjoy that.
So then next course, blue team brings out that beet agnolotti with feta, and the green team does a ricotta and potato dumpling, which is Carrie's big moment.
Did you mean to saute one side of the dumpling?
She's like, yes, because I wanted it to be sort of like crispy, but then doing the other side. And then Tom's like, yeah, I like that. I like they did that. It's a good choice.
Yeah, it's a good choice. You know, conflicting textures in one dumpling. I mean, that's great. She's not smiling now. So who is this person? Where'd you come from?
I like that if you like rotate the plate, the dumpling goes from looking like a smile to a frown. I like that.
I like her headband. Can I just say that right now? Does that count for points? Yeah. She wears it consistently. I like it.
Yeah.
Purple.
It's good. Good knot in the back. Yeah. So they love the dumpling. They love Joe and Bruce's agnolotti. And then now it's time for the next course. And there's already going to be problems because two's lamb is all sorts of different temperatures, et cetera. So the blue team brings out that two's brings out a lamb loin with spring veggies, which Rogelio does. And then the green team does choose lamb with whatever, with the whey sauce that Joe made.
Well, no one is calling each other out yet until the very end of this episode. No one called Mustache out on constantly opening the oven to look at the chops. It's like he has to completely open it to judge them every 5 seconds to feel better or whatever. Like, haven't you done enough?
That's a great
point. You
have
that mustache. Of course they're going to cook unevenly. Like, one of the biggest things on Top Chef is making sure no one opens their fucking oven, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's a really good point. I wasn't even thinking about that. But you're right. That motherfucker was opening up the oven. I'm not
stupid. He's
that.
Stupid.
Stupid. You're a stupid person. You're a stupid motherfucking person opening ovens all the time. Who do you think you are? An oven opener?
Oven opener.
Yeah,
we've
seen
so many people ruin their lives on Top Chef when someone opens their oven, sir.
It's true.
Have you ever had a wilted popover? Then you don't understand.
And what about the old someone turned off my oven trick?
There's some slimy fuckers on this show.
That's going to come up. So Tyler and Rogelio's dish, the lamb was raw and the cheese was an afterthought. So they didn't like that. And then Two and Joe, they needed better butchery because basically it was too simple because it was like a piece of lamb on like a grit. I think it was on grits, right? And they just felt like for something that simple, you need to have expert butchery. And Tom's like, you know, the dish just not finished. It's like a lamb just like fell onto some grits.
And it tasted like cereal. And Graham's like, God, I would kill for some fucking cereal right now.
Have you noticed my glasses? It's kind of my thing. I feel like I've been doing it for like 5 seasons and no one's even said anything about them yet. So I just want to point out, trying to do a thing here, trying to make this happen. And then freaking Beard over here shows up the glass and y'all are like, look at the Beard over there. He's got glasses and cheese. And I'm like, I've been doing this for 5 years.
Oh, look at the semi-thin guy with long hair. I guess that's in now. I bet you eat cereal, motherfucker. It's like, no, actually, I bridged the gap between farms and restaurants, sir.
So then the blue dessert time, Blue brings out a blueberry tart and the green team brings out fried dough with feta ice cream. And Padma is all about it. She's like, I think the green team's dessert may be my favorite ever made on Top Chef. Such a pity that our dear friend Gail Simmons couldn't be here to eat it. But I guess she got her just desserts. Get it? Her failed show. Ha ha ha.
Wow, this is the best dessert ever in Top Chef history. Or maybe it's just because Gail eats it all before I get a bite.
So refreshing that we finally get to have more than half a spoonful before Gail digs in. I mean, bless her heart.
I was mad for you because of blueberries. I was like, gross, how dare you? Ben doesn't like those. Don't you know Ben's preferences by now? And a friend are you, Top Chef?
That is like the nicest thing you've ever said. Defending me to Top Chef. So now we go to judges' table. Unless, was there anything else you wanted to comment on before we move in that direction?
I was trying to think of a time I've said something nicer and I couldn't. That's really sad.
It's really nice. It was as nice as that dessert was good to Padma. Although that one chef was like, I don't like it. I'm a little bit of a texture queen or freak. Maybe he said freak, but I read it as texture queen.
Yeah, I'm a texture queen.
I'm like, okay, fine.
What does that mean? Because didn't he just tell somebody he liked their ricotta ice cream? He's like, I liked your ricotta ice cream because it should have been grainy, but it wasn't. Guess why? Because it was artisanal, and I made it. And then he didn't like the dough texture. Was it the dough texture?
I think it was the ice cream, because the feta, I think, had like a slightly grainy texture in the ice cream. I think that would be nice. I mean, hello, have you ever had chocolate chips in your ice cream, sir?
Yeah, they're making like rose water ice cream now. Gross. They're like, hey, how gross can we make ice cream now? Do you want bacon ice cream? No, yeah. I don't. Artisanal motherfucker. Cream, get me some thrifties.
The worst ice cream I ever had was lobster ice cream. I had it at the cousin's Maine lobster truck. And I thought, like, they were like, well, you know, because vanilla and lobster is apparently a pairing that happens a lot. So it's like vanilla ice cream with lobster. So it's like, I'm open to it. I'll give it a try. And it was disgusting. And I'm like open-minded. And we went to that. We went to that Top Chef Just Desserts thing where it was crazy desserts. And it was worse than all those crazy desserts.
Make something with, oh, Padma's not on that. But they're like, make something with baked beans. What was that?
I just remember having a falafel panna cotta.
Ugh.
And a chicken skin cheesecake. Ugh. It was like the episode. Of course, Ronnie and I got to go the episode when it was like, make a dessert out of strange savory things. And then like one of the Beastie Boys was a judge and Gail was there and we were like, it was just a very surreal experience.
Yeah, it was terrible. But we did learn how terrible everybody was and how good some people were. And it was correct the whole season.
Yeah, we were really on point. Yeah. So
ooh, remember judges... that chickpea thing that fake happy person made? She's like, I'm so happy. Do you like my chickpeas?
That was the falafel panicotta.
The worst. Yeah, that was bad. Who does that?
So it's judge's table and Padma, she just starts it off with like a really shady note. She's like, welcome to judge's table. Our favorite team had the worst dish of the day. So we were in quite a pickle. I mean, we were literally in a pickle. I think Gail cleared out all our supply of that, but bless her heart, you know, put anything in a jar of salt and she's going to go to town on it. She's so simple, but so happy. I love her. I love her.
Now that I have pickle-shamed Gail, I would like to say another big word. Conundrum! I was like, oh, shut up, Padma. Okay. Just be quiet.
All right. So, basically, no surprise here. The green team wins. And on the green team, so they start talking about... they start, like, talking to the people who are at the top. And they really loved Carrie's dumplings. And Carrie goes, this is so ridiculous, she goes... They're like, about her dumplings. She goes, you know, normally I do it potato forward, but you know, the ricotta really spoke.
The ricotta was like, hey, Carrie, stop smiling and turn me over so I'll be even. But she couldn't hear it. She's like, it spoke, but it was so quiet. I'm still not smiling. Can I win? Please? Please? I'm a local.
It's very potato forward. it's a study in potato. It's I like to do a combination of russet new and Yukon gold, but this time the ricotta just spoke, and I was like, I'm gonna do something crazy. I'm gonna do a ricotta dumpling. I just feel like it's there. I'm seeing it. I'm speaking to it. I'm communing. I'm having sexual moments with the ricotta and putting it in the dumpling.
My potato forward dumpling was the only one that had locals surrounding it, cheering it on. Why? I don't know.
Well, the people here in Colorado are very pro potato forward dishes. So, you know, naturally I went that way. And they're like, have you made this dumpling before? She's like, yes.
Yes. I've stolen this recipe from the restaurant I worked at, which is not La Bernadette, but hopefully my lack of smiling will overcome that.
It's very me forward.
La Bernadette, I wrote this next. La Bernadette, La Bernadette, La Bernadette. And then I wrote La Bernadette Peters because I was like, that's actually bringing Bernadette Peters back into my life. So I like this girl now.
So then they, you know, they praise everyone and then the judges get to Tu and Joe and they're like, you know, Tom just goes, that lamb dish was not very good. Not very good. And Tu has this hilarious defense. He goes, we wish we had instructed the diners to eat it with their hands. And Tom goes, what would that have done?
Would that make it better? And he's like, yeah, because it would have made it fun, you know, and unique. He goes, you know, eat it with your hands.
He goes, for us, it would have been an American nostalgic thing. I'm like, okay, please. This is not potato forward, okay? Like, it doesn't make it. Raw lamb is raw lamb, whether you're eating with your hands or not.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, swallowing. Oh. He's like, American nostalgia. Before the fork. Like, no, I'm sorry. And also, if people ate it with their hands, they'd cut themselves on the shards you left on the bones. You know?
Yeah.
Stop making excuses. Blame handlebar.
Yeah, I like you too, but saying that it would have been better if you ate it off the bone and it was like, it was a nostalgic American experience, you know, lamb forward, no.
Yeah. Nostalgic American experience is unhealthy. We all had heart attacks at 20 years old, and we don't need to go back there, okay? Yeah. Next time, make a better lamb chop. How's that, too?
Oh, it's so good to laugh again. So the winner is... the winner is Carrie for her dumpling, which is a nice turnabout.
Who made a huge effort not to fully smile with her teeth. Like, she really learned. I'm proud of her. And she's like, oh my God, I did this for the community because I'm a local. I'll bet there's people right outside the door cheering for me and nobody else. I don't know why, but I'll take it. And the bottoms were sad because Rogelio had a moment in this, which we talked about last week, where he's like, as a Mexican immigrant, it's harder, you know? You have to work your ass all the way up from the bottom. You have to learn a new language. Like, it's hard to become an actual chef. And I want to show other Mexicans that you can fucking do it, you know? So when he's like, well, you know, I didn't like your, what didn't he like? It was undercooked.
It was undercooked, and the cheese was not well integrated. Like, there was no story of the cheese, and it was clearly not cheese forward.
You see, in America, we have the Little Prince. Just say that the cheese went on a journey, and he met a bunch of animals, and then learned something about himself. You know? Okay.
So then Padma, she then turns to Claudette and Adrienne. She goes, "And both of you are pleased with your dish?"
And Claudette knew what's coming. She's like, it's not my fault. It's her fault. She made me do it.
Yeah.
I had another idea in mind. And then she came to me and I said, okay. And Tom's like, why? Why would you let her do that? She's like, because she's bossy and horrible. Burn her down.
And then Claudette starts speaking borderline gibberish. She's like, but I rescinded the opinion that it should be cooked raw. Like, it was like, she was like, I'm under attack. So I'm going to try to formalize my language.
Yeah, she's like, rescinded. And then Padma's like, conundrum, tarragon. She's like, okay, you win. Tom's like, your tortoiseshell glasses are really stupid, and I don't like that you blame somebody else. So you're not a team member, and you need to go. And even when she got kicked off, I mean, I don't want to make fun of somebody sobbing, but I will. So she's sobbing, and she's like, I'm one of the best people in there, and it's not because I'm egotistical. It's because I have heart.
Yeah.
Guess what? No, you don't. You just tried to get somebody fired.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm hearing an echo of me.
Oh, sorry.
Did you take out your headphones?
I rolled back to get more water, and it pulled out my headphones.
It pulled your
on back.
Pulled the headphones out. Did you mean to make me echo throughout the podcast?
I did. What if Gail actually answered Padma's questions?
Did you mean to make it so salty? So that was this week's episode of Top Chef. We still have not heard back from Ariana, so we don't know where she's at right now. But why don't we switch gears real quickly to talk about the Below Deck reunion. We want to just sort of talk about, like, our favorite moments from it or your big takeaways, you know?
Okay, yeah, we'll do a short one because, look, when they put your reunion on Watch What Happens Live, we ain't going to do a full thing. That's not fair.
Yeah.
A, it's not fair to you guys that they did that. And B, it's not fair to us. I don't like watching people sit on stools. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And they also breeze through everything so quickly. It's awkward. Like, even the first thing that I noticed was right in the beginning was, well, first of all, I like the way Kate said hello to Andy. She's like, hello, Andy. Everyone's like, hi, Andy. She's like, hello. But the way it's so awkward the way they breeze through the topic so quickly, because Andy's talking to Baker. He's like, so I heard something crazy that you're Thomas Ravenel's cousin. Is that true? She's like, well, actually, he's my step uncle. She's like, whoa, step uncle. She's like, yeah, wow. So, Nico, you have spread your brother's ashes over the ocean, I hear. I'm like, what sort of transition was that?
It's like, hey, you got new boobs. Your mother's dying of cancer. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slowly, slowly. But also, you can tell the difference in every Below Deck reunion between the service people and the deck people, right? Because the service people, you can be like, you killed a baby on national TV. And we're used to getting yelled at. So we're like, yes, I did. But it was only to serve you. And I'm sorry I couldn't make you happy. If I could do it in another way, I would. But unfortunately, you reflected your opinion with a low tip, and I accepted that. I didn't complain. So thank you for coming. Please take a mint on your way out. Thank you.
It's like you can't catch them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But the deck's like, fuck you. I mean it. I have no regrets. Yeah. Fuck that girl on TV. Who cares? I needed it.
So I think one of the things that was surprising to me was talking about people's work ethics, etc. I was surprised that EJ kind of stood up for Chris Brown, saying that he had a really good work ethic, because Chris Brown declined to go to the reunion because he just didn't want to. And then Bruno couldn't be there because he had a visa issue. LOL. So,
LOL. So he's like, hashtag workout, hashtag man, hashtag gym, hashtag Ellen DeGeneres, hashtag
they wouldn't let me be in G-string for passport photo. So
God, I love that banana.
I was surprised that EJ called Bruno entitled. You know, obviously we know that Kate doesn't like Bruno, but I was surprised that EJ had those vibes.
I was too, and that he said it. And that he had a spray tan. Like, there was a lot happening with EJ I was confused about.
Yeah, a lot.
Bruno is entitled, though. Like, we like Bruno. I think we could both agree that we like Bruno. But he is one of those kids who's like, ow, this is hard, you know. And
I'm tired.
He's not wrong. It is hard, and he is tired. And he did have a scratch, you know. That sucks. But you're just supposed to get past it and, like, you know,
not complain. Exactly. I also thought an interesting moment was when Captain Lee was talking about whether or not he would have given Nico the bosun promotion had he known Nico's behavior. And he's like, absolutely not. That was some childish behavior. And whether you're doing something on it, like, that's a Monday morning quarterbacking, hindsight, 2020, Dateline, 48 hours bullshit.
And some Megyn Kelly in the morning crap right there you just did. I'm going to go through every damn TV show I've ever seen.
That's some Hoda Kotb. And I say, take out the Hoda Kotb part and just leave the B for a bitch. She's a little bitch.
How about you keep Hoda and get rid of that drunk Kathy Lee? How about that? You'll have half a chance. I didn't even see that on camera. And I liked what he said there, though, because Nico said, well, you know, I saw myself, and then later I regretted it. Because Nico is someone who will probably, you know, cheat the rest of his life. Like, he's cute. He's horny. He's going to have an open relationship at some point. But sure. A lot of the stuff he got caught on was when he was drunk or whatever, you know. And so when he gets caught, he's like, I'm sorry. I'm just taking off time to spend with my family. Like, he's a mayor or something.
Right.
And
right.
So the captain was like, you don't get to just say I'm sorry. Like, sorry is great, but in the moment is when it matters. The power of now. Hoda and Kathy, not taking her out. Oprah and no Gail. No more Gail. Okay? I need less Gail, Nico.
Who brought goddamn Maury Povich into this?
Did someone
Bill Donahue?
Did someone just throw a folding chair at the lady with the red glasses, Sally Jesse Raphael.
All right, Jenny Jones, what are you doing here now, huh? No,
oh my God,
no one invited you here, Jenny Jones.
No one invites Jenny Jones anywhere because someone committed suicide. It wasn't her fault. Forgive her.
It wasn't. Forgive justice for Jenny Jones.
I love her.
Yeah.
Now that girl will get a job, okay?
She knows something, okay? She puts on her shoulder pads and she gets to the bottom of it. If you commit suicide, you weren't strong enough to be on this earth anyway, okay?
That person who committed suicide, not a yachty, I'll tell you that.
Ooh, we probably shouldn't be laughing about someone who committed suicide. So
it's not a real person. It only counts if they're real.
Yeah, exactly. Bree, she's in love, but she hasn't. But she's hanging out with a guy, and they're not dating officially. But she thinks she's in love, so that's exciting.
That's so Bree too, and everybody at home's like, "Oh, he's married, probably," and he's like telling you, "I'll meet you in New York for a night." But I like that she kept to it. She was like, "Look, I'm not mad. I knew it was casual. If I had deep feelings, I would be mad, but I didn't really care." And he's like, well, you did know that he had a girlfriend. She's like, I didn't know it was that serious. And then Nico's like, yes, you did. You saw me on Instagram.
Yeah. He was like, Bree was there to comfort me. I needed the comfort. I'm like, that sounds like sex. He's like, with that hotel, we actually just like talked for hours and she was there to comfort me. I'm like, so you talked and had sex. Okay.
We just talked. Losers.
With your penis and your vagina.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And he has so much pride anyway. He's like, look, I'm not sorry. I don't regret it. He said that. He's like, I don't regret it. Melissa wasn't there and I needed comfort.
Yeah.
God. It's not a blanket plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Nico would have been honest, though, to be fair. If I actually believe them when they said they were just talking, because he's single. He's got nothing to lose. He's like, yeah, we boned, you know. I thought what was weird was after all this talk about Barcelona, the cab ride in Barcelona, that, like, they didn't even kiss, and that all that happened was, like, Nico made, like overtures at Brianna, and then that was it. I was like, that's
bullshit.
They made it seem like it was, like, some sort of, like, Moulin Rouge happened in the back seat, you know, like there was a trapeze and people throwing money and singing songs.
That is some bullshit. They fucked. And why is that the worst thing? Like, we know already you're saying you don't regret it and all this. So if you can stand up for that, who cares? Like, what do you think? That's the thing. But then again, Melissa was like, okay, I'm not going to forgive you for a long time. I'll see you at the airport.
Yeah. I liked when Andy asked Kate about hot Jesus. He's like, how's hot Jesus? She goes, hot, kind, intelligent, Swedish.
Love Shiner. Like, what more do you want? Also, Kate's hair. We give Kate shit about her hair. Well, I do. Every season. Great job. I don't know if they're extensions, a weave, if it's sewed on. I don't even care. Beautiful. Beautiful work.
Yeah, very nice. One thing that made me laugh a lot was when they went to commercial break at one point, they're like, still to come, and they show Kyle be like, then you just see Kate go, not this boat. I was like, what? What is this? What is this conversation? He's like, not this boat.
He's like, you don't have to tell me. I've worked on a lot of boats. She's like, not this boat. Like, you work on cargo ships. Okay. And then Andy's like, so do you get blowjobs on the ships? Because it's all dudes. And, you know, when it's all dudes, you're like, it's like Catholic school. Remember? That was fun. And he's like, well, I've seen a lot of things, Andy, but I'm not going to touch my food and you're dead to me.
Arctic.
Oh, also, Bruno, when he was on the video thing, Andy's like, so are you finally officially out of the closet now that you're marrying a dude on Instagram and hashtagging Ellen DeGeneres? And he's like, well, you know, if that's what you want to label it, I'm in love with a person. I'm in love with a person who happens to have a penis. So you need to label it? Okay.
I feel it. I'm engaged to a beautiful heart and a beautiful person, and it happens to have a penis and a man and male nipples. So if you want to say gay, then I guess I'm gay. That's fine.
Like, you can see his beautiful heart in the shape of a nice toned ass on Instagram, which we post every day.
Now, I have to say, by the way, I thought Andy was really killing it with the dumb yacht puns. Even at the beginning of the show, he's like, I got a lot of yacht puns to get through. And they were great. Like, I was actually, like, laughing, like, well, chuckling for every single one because I love a good pun. But I do think that the one where he introduced Bruno could have used some work. He's like, he spent the season trying to learn the ropes, but he wound up getting burned by ropes.
Yeah, it's two ropes in a sentence.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. He should have been like, hey, Bruno may have Bruno may be used to being on cruise control, but can he start over from scratch? Oh, that hurt. It still hurt.
I was surprised. What was surprising to me is that after a season of Kate and Jen being at each other's throats, that they were very complimentary to each other, and they pretty much were saying that they're friends, and Kate seemed to really like her and was like, yeah, no, she's hilarious. And, you know, it was a little bit of a love fest, which I don't think anyone was expecting.
Well, look, you can't punch a baby. You know what I mean? Like, the baby's going to cry. It's going to poop itself. You can't just punch it. I think Kate is coming from that kind of place. Like, yes, she's an idiot, but, you know, who wasn't? It takes a long time. I would work with her again, not on a yacht or in a store or on a spaceship or in a bank, really anywhere. But, you know, she was funny. Her mind was great. Do you remember how she made a glass house and it had walls that would come out at different parts? I mean, that was an intricate house. It had a smart TV. I mean, I like Jen.
I'm trying to think the other things that struck me.
They kind of rehashed things, but in a very like low-key way because they had learned to process them in a nice waiter way. But I did love the captain because he just had something nasty to say about everybody. They're like, would you hire Jen again? No way. Okay. do you still like Cheerios? Too hard to open. Fuck those things. God damn it. What do you think about Chris Brown? Waste of skin. All right.
I liked when, you know, Bruno and Kate have like a low level tension between them. And, you know, the question is, Bruno, do you respect Kate? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I tired, but I respect everyone. But when people don't give it back, when they don't respect me, then I have a hard time giving respect to her, you know. And he's like going on, and they cut to Kate, and she's like, I'm just going to stare at something in the ceiling at a slight angle right now to convey my frustration with this idiot.
Yeah, she's like, well, you're on Skype, and I'm in a clubhouse, so there you go.
Maybe I would have had my visa in order for the reunion, but that's just me. I'm just going to keep looking at that light up at the ceiling.
I respect the heart, okay? He's mad because he couldn't make any more ice cream balls. It's so silly. but also hilarious. And I like that they got him on Skype.
Yeah, I liked also Matt. Matt had this like very cheery disposition when they were talking about Kate and Jen, and like they're bickering, and Matt was like, "Oh gosh, no, these two were having so much fun. Oh gosh, yeah, no, they were great. They were just really lovely." I'm like, "Wow, you really are Canadian."
Yeah, they cut out a lot of the parts that made sense, you know, so it just looks like it's bickering. But I'll tell you, that kitchen was fun. And he's like, "But what about the Bananas Foster slam?" He's like, "I deserved it." "Well, what about Kate saying all that mean stuff about you?" He's like, "Well, you know, that's learning. Not all teachers are nice, okay? Sometimes the belt across your butt will make you a better man, okay? So thanks. I would like to thank Kate." "Thank you, Kate." She's like, "You're still an idiot, and I appreciate you. Thank you."
"Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you."
The best part to me was when Kate goes, "Look, I am a bitch sometimes. It's okay. You can say it."
"I'm allowing you to allow my bitchiness to come in to you."
And Kyle was just trying to be a housewife. "If you start with me, that's what you do. You're in jeans, okay?
Yeah.
Why are all the girls in ball gowns and all the guys are in jeans?
That's yes, not fair." Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, Kyle was going off about the matter, saying he's like, "It's cold manners. This woman has none." I'm like, okay, she stuck a fork into your gravy. It's annoying, but the fact that you just did not eat any of the food at all, that's actually wasteful, and I think that's more disrespectful than someone who stuck a fork in your gravy.
That is disrespectful to the artisan farmer
who
worked a bridge to get that to this island, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of all I have. I loved the season of Below Deck, but I feel like Below Deck is so good at taking care of the drama on the spot, you know?
Right. And I think what's hard is that they all have to be like professionals, you know, because they have to work on yachts. So they kind of have to be professional at all times. They really can't get too nasty on these shows. So,
yeah, like the sexual harassment question, Kate, they're like, "The internet went crazy because you didn't protect Jen from being sexually harassed by Mrs. Roper or whatever." And she's like, "Look, it's service. What are you going to do? Beat her with a baseball bat? I mean, we're used to it. I gave her a rape whistle and it was decorative." And they're like, "Okay, really good answer."
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. So, Below Deck is done. But Below Deck Med is coming back soon enough. Very excited for that. I love Below Deck.
Yeah, it was a good season. It was a fun season. And also, Kate Chastain's final After Deck podcast is up this week for the season, the final one for the season. And it's with Mr. Captain Lee God. Damn it. Yeah, so go give that a lesson because you know he ain't going to hold back.
He certainly won't. He's Captain Lee.
Yeah, that's right. Your little tiny boat's getting in my goddamn way.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. All this talk about food and yachting has made me starving, so I'm going to go try to find something to eat. This was a really fun way to end the week. I feel like this episode must have been like 2 hours long. This was a big one. Was it 2 hours long?
It's 1:35. When we don't, Jesus. Now that we're doing one actually every day, we'll still talk for 3 hours.
Well, to be fair, Top Chef was supersized and we covered two shows. And we did Is Ariana Mad at Us? And did Ariana respond? No.
Hopefully she must really she's be still mad. Asleep. We went out. Okay. We were like, bye. Bye, yeah. Bartenders. Bye, person who's cleaning up the tables.
Well, we will update everyone to find out whether or not Ariana is still mad at us.
Everyone, we love you. Thanks for supporting this show. We will see you at the live shows. Wine glasses are back at Amazon, and pint glasses should be up by the end of the weekend. Mugs, coffee mugs, t-shirts.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes, and we're going to have some limited items month to month starting in the new year. If you want to go to that Amazon store, just go look on watchwhatcrappens.com. Where else would you be?
Okay? Or Amazon itself.
Nope. Watchwhatcrappens.com. Because then you'll also see show dates, our pictures, Jeff Lewis making a crazy big lip smile. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all there. We love you guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye, everyone.